From the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The word of the Lord.
So this is the beginning of a sermon series about beginnings called Beginnings. And so for the next 7 weeks, we're going to be going through the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, Genesis, a book whose first word in Hebrew means beginnings. And we're going to be doing all of this in conversation with a book by Steve Wiens entitled Beginnings. And so you can see that if you have any question as to what the theme is going to be of the next several weeks, it is going to be beginnings. So now, many of you have bought the book already. We have it for sale in the back, actually, for $10. If you have it but you haven't read it, there is a remedial reading room in the chapel that you are invited to go to and do your reading during the service. That's okay. No one will judge you if you do that. But if you haven't read it, it doesn't matter. It's supposed to be sort of like a if you read it, you might see a little more of the depth of what I'm talking about, but you don't need to read the book in order to sort of get the sermon series. That's okay. But I encourage you to do it, and Steve will actually be here next week. He's preaching on the second chapter of this book, which is going to be really, really great. And Steve is one of the most amazing communicators who I've ever met. So that's just a plug for him. Come next week. And so, you know, when we think about the first chapter of Genesis, when we think about beginnings and this account of creation, the first account of creation that we see there, you know, so often our attention is just immediately turned to the questions that you know, occupy us and preoccupy us as people living in the 21st century. So immediately, you know, we read this first account of creation, and we start thinking about the relationship between, you know, faith and reason and science and religion. You know, some people say it's 6 literal days, 6,000 years ago, or are these days, you know, eons that correspond to the, you know, billions and billions of years that you will find in an astronomy textbook. And so those can be interesting questions. But those are not going to be our questions over these next 7 weeks. And if you want to know kind of what I think about some of those questions, I've preached a couple of sermons on that stuff. You can go online, you can look on it. I preached on Genesis a couple of years ago, and the Apostles' Creed, you know, that great phrase, "We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." So if you want to know about that, those sort of questions, you can go there and listen. But those aren't going to be the questions that preoccupy us over the next 7 weeks. See, our questions are going to have to do with how does the first chapter of Genesis, you know, not just provide us with a framework for understanding the beginning of all things, but how can it help us instead understand all beginnings? Because Scripture isn't a dead letter. It doesn't just tell us, you know, what happened, but it tells us what's happening. It doesn't just tell us, you know, how God used to work, but it tells us how God continues to work in the world. Scripture is like a river. It's alive and it's active, it is flowing and fresh. And so when we enter into it, that river, and we will never be standing still. The old saying is true, you can't enter the same river twice. And so, you know, yeah, we're standing downstream, you know, countless years from some of the events described in Genesis 1. But it's still the same river. And it's still the same God. And he still works in the same ways. And so we're saying, you know, how does God continue to create in the pattern of Genesis 1? If God created the universe from nothing, you know, ex nihilo, in the classical, you know, Latin theological language, if God can create in that way then surely he can make something out of our nothings now. And the basic point of this whole series is this, that every beginning is an opportunity for God to bring forth from you the goodness he has implanted within you. Every beginning is an opportunity for God to bring forth from you the goodness he has implanted within you. And that is exciting, but it is also scary. And it's exciting because there are probably some places in your life where you feel stuck and where you'd love for God to just do something new. But it's scary because, you know, being stuck brings with it the illusion, at least, of safety. Because when you're stuck, you're in the same place. And being in the same place at least leads to a kind of feeling of familiarity. Right? We can be comfortable in dysfunctional places because at least we know them, right? The devil we know is better than the devil that we don't know. And so we can become stuck and satisfied with that safety, even if that safety has been stultifying. But God doesn't want us to be safe. Right? He wants us to be good. He doesn't want us to stay stuck. He wants to create new things in us and around us and through us, good things. And so it's with all that in mind that we turn to the first five verses of Genesis 1. And so we're going to look at four different aspects of new beginnings that we see in these first five verses. And the first is, where do new beginnings come from? And the second thing is, what makes new beginnings possible? Third, why does God make light first? And lastly, what does it mean to be called good by God? And so first, where do beginnings come from? And we see in these first verses that beginnings come from what our translation says is an earth that is formless and void. And so new beginnings emerge from that which is formless and void. And so what does that mean? And these two words, formless and void, are very important because, and they're interesting because they're difficult to translate. They're really difficult words. You know, the New Living Translation says that the earth was formless and it was empty. And the Message Translation says in this really wonderful paraphrase, it says, the earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. And so what these words are, or what these translations are trying to capture are these two Hebrew words. Tohu wabohu. Tohu wabohu. They even rhyme. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was tohu wabohu. And so this two-word phrase, these two words, tohu wabohu, they only occur in Genesis 1-2. And there's a couple other places they are in the Old Testament, but those are just quotations of Genesis 1-2. And so when we ask this question, where do beginnings come from, where do they start? They start with tohu wabohu. They start with things being formless and void. They start with a soup of nothingness. They start with a bottomless, inky blackness. In other words, beginnings start with a big old lump of chaos. No clear script. No clear instructions. No directions. No idea exactly what's going to happen next. They start with your wife going into labor at 23 weeks and being wheeled away in a flash before you even have time to be scared. They start with the words, insufficient funds. With the words, we're sorry, but we're going to have to let you go. With the words, I don't love you anymore. Or, we're going to have to operate. Or, congratulations, now you're a graduate. Now just figure out what you want to do with the rest of your life. Or, enjoy your retirement. Now you'll get to do all the things that you've wanted to do with your life. What exactly are those things? See, these are all words that we hear at points in our real, actual lives that leave us in a place of tohu wabohu. Chaos, formless, empty, lost, dry, barren. And you can notice that these aren't necessarily all bad situations. Some of them are. But they're all situations that come with this sense of not having a clear idea of what the future holds, of what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to keep on living. And when we're in that place of darkness, of lostness, of confusion, of chaos, we can know that we are in the tohu wabohu, and we can know that we are at a beginning. That God wants to begin something in us. So beginnings come from chaos. They come from tohu wabohu. But the second thing, the second question is what makes beginnings possible, right? What moves us from that place of chaos, of disorder, to begin to order the new beginning? And there's two things that we see right here in these opening verses. And so the first thing we see is the Spirit of God. But before that, we get this, you know, the darkness is over the waters of the deep. And it's a delicious little verse. It's a deep that's being referred to here. It is a Hebrew word that should actually be capitalized. It's not just any deep. It's this deep that's called the Tehom. It is chaos personified. Right, you would think that the Tehom would be God's enemy, that it would be a force that would be opposed to God beginning anything. It's the abyss. But it's not. Because immediately after that, we are told that God's Spirit is hovering over the waters. And this word hovering is the word that's used to describe what a mother bird does over her nest. And so the picture here is of God covering the chaos like a hen covers her eggs. And so that when God covers the chaos, chaos isn't just chaos. Darkness isn't just darkness. It is pregnant with potential, teeming with life that is ready to spring forth. And this word spirit in Hebrew, it's ruach. And it's one of those multifaceted, wonderful words because it can mean, you know, several things. This could mean it's God's spirit, God's wind, God's breath. And when it comes to, you know, that A, B, C, multiple choice question, we can just go with D. You know, it means all of the above. All of these things. This is God's wind. This is God's breath. This is God's presence. And so it means that into the chaos, God sends his wind. God brings movement. Because God just doesn't want to leave us stuck in place. And it means that into the chaos, God's Spirit brings life. Because God's Spirit is breath. And to breathe is to be alive. You know, one of the memories that sticks with me from bringing our first son, our oldest son, Kyle, home from the hospital was that first night. Where, I couldn't sleep. And, you know, it's not just because you have adrenaline pumping and you've just gone through this amazing transition in your life, but it's because you wonder, how is this little person going to keep breathing? And are they just going to, this fragile human being, are they just going to, you know, stop right there? And so you just stare into their little crib and you watch their little chest go up and down. Because you know if you're breathing, you're alive, and at least that is going to be okay. And so when God's Spirit comes into the midst of chaos, you know, it doesn't just bring motion, moving us from one place to another, but it brings life. More life. New life. And so the last thing that it means for God's Spirit to come into the chaos is that God is present with us in the midst of that chaos. And so that's what it means for God's Spirit to be God's presence. It means there is nowhere we can be where he is not with us. No darkness too deep, no situation too lost, no problem too difficult, no tohu too wabohu. Even there, God's Spirit is moving. It's breathing. It's with us. And so it's God's Spirit that is the first thing that makes new beginnings possible. And the second thing that makes these new beginnings possible, we see in these words. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God says, stuff happens. See, God creates beginnings by the power of his word. When God speaks, what God wants to happen happens. And so God's word isn't a suggestion, it isn't a request, it is a command. But it's not a harsh command, it's not a cold command, it is a life-giving command. A life-giving order. A life-giving word. God speaks life into chaos through his word. And new beginnings are possible because God is still speaking. And the wonderful thing is that he's given this word of life to us, you know, this book that we have called the Bible, which is filled with his words through the power of his spirit. His ruach is God's word to us. And later we're going to gather at this table. We're going to say this is Christ's body, this is his blood, this is a visible word, a visible sign of God's invisible grace. And we are a people of the word, not because we're slaves to some religious text or because we worship a book. No, we are a people of the word because it is through this word that God speaks beginnings into our lives. And so what makes beginnings possible? God's spirit and God's word moving in the midst of God's people. And that's why we get together each and every week. That's why we do this community called church together, because we believe that when we get together, God's word and God's spirit are going to enter into our midst and create new beginnings amongst us. And it is through these things that God is going to name the new life, the good that he wants to see come out of us and flow into the world. God is going to use us as a people to call forth new life from one another. What does this mean? What does this look like? Well, there's someone I know who was moved by God's spirit and responded to God's word. I know when my family was in chaos, when our world was falling apart, what did she do? You know, put up a GoFundMe site, sent out a meal sign up, visited us, prayed for us. We didn't ask her to do this, but God was using her, stirring her, because she listened to his word and she was filled with his spirit. And because of this, God could use her to bring order to our chaos. She could help us enter into a new beginning because God was bringing out the good that he had implanted in her. So we've seen where beginnings start. They start with chaos. And we've seen how these beginnings start, how we start to go from chaos to order, and it's through the word and the spirit. But the last thing, or the second to last thing we're going to look at is this first thing that God creates, light. And we're going to say, what kind of light is this, and why did God make it first? And so when we think of God creating light, we think this sort of must be like the sun or the stars, but it's not. This is day one, and none of those other things actually start showing up until day four. So it's a light that God separates from the darkness that doesn't come from any source that we would normally associate with life, with light. What kind of light could this be? My most honest answer is I really don't know, because I can't imagine light without a sort of a natural source. So why did God create light? Why did he do this before he created anything that we would think of as producing light? I think we can understand if we just think first of total darkness, of pitch blackness. And if you've ever been in a room where there was absolutely no light, you'll begin to understand what I'm talking about. When you're in a room where there's no light, where you can't sort of adjust to the low light level, it's totally pitch black, there's this profound sense of disorientation that begins to set in. Because in the absence of light, you lose any semblance of time. Has it been 1 minute or 1 hour? You lose any understanding of space. Where am I? Who am I in relation to other things? This is a profoundly disorienting experience. The best analogy that I can think of from my life is growing up, my best friend Andy lived behind us, and it was this great duplex, and he had this amazing basement there, this huge basement that we would get to play in. And for a while, we loved this game called Blind Man's Bluff. I don't know if you've ever played that game. It's like hide and go seek, but when you're being searched out, you can like move around the room, so you don't have to stay in place when you're hiding. And it's a small room, and it's confined. And so the room was really, really dark by itself. You know, we turned the lights off, we'd put the shades down, but then you had to wear a blindfold. And so what you would do is, you would go hide, ready or not, here I come. And as this person was stumbling their way around the room, when they'd get like an inch from you, you'd just move somewhere else. And so hiding was really fun, because you could see kind of something. But trying to find people in this environment was like one of the most frustrating things that you could do. Because you knew you were in this room and there was people there, but you didn't know where they were. And it was furniture and there was toys and there was no way to know anything where anything was until you ran right into it. And so God, I think, creates light first from the darkness because it's only when we can see a way out of the chaos that we can have hope that something's beginning. As long as there's still just darkness, we're just stumbling around. And so light comes first because with light comes sight, and with sight comes hope, and with hope comes beginnings. And light comes first because at the beginning, God wants us to see that we're not just lost, that He has a way, that we're not alone, that He's here with us, even in the tohu wabohu. And that's the best gift you can get when you are lost in the chaos, that gift of seeing, of sight, that you're not alone, that this isn't always going to be the way that things are. And I think that's why the first thing that God creates is light, to light the way of our first steps and to show us even that first steps are possible. All right, so we've seen where beginnings come from. They come from the tohu wabohu, and we've seen, you know, how new beginnings are possible because of God's word and God's spirit, and we've seen that God creates light first to show us that there is a way, but I want us to take a moment to just think about what it might mean for God to call something good. And this word good is an important one as we go through Genesis 1, because it's the refrain that we're going to hear day after day after day, that what God created and God sees, God invariably calls good. And if you've read Steve's book, then you'll know he has this whole, you know, introduction that's all about the meaning of this word. And he has this definition for good, which is like wonderfully complex and kind of confusing, and we'll get to it. But we can start just by saying, what does it mean? What can we understand about this word good before we even get to this longer definition? Because if beginnings are about calling forth good that God has implanted in creation, then we need to understand what it means to be good, to be called good. And so, you know, today is an education in Hebrew words. We've got tohu, wabohu, we've got ruach for spirit, we've got tehom for deep, but I'm going to leave you with one last one. It's a simple word, three letters. Tov. This is the Hebrew word for good. And so every beginning, as we see over the course of the first 6 days, that every beginning involves seeing more and more of the tov that is embedded in the creation by God. And so what do we learn about tov on day one? We learn that when God sees the light inside the darkness, He sees that it's good. And so He separates the light from the darkness, and He names the light day, and the darkness He names night. And so the good here is actually to be separated, to be differentiated, to be named. And we can only emerge from chaos when we understand who we are, and just as importantly, who we are not. That's tov, to be called out for who you are, because then you can begin to live into who you actually are rather than who you think you're supposed to be or other people think you're supposed to be. Because one of the most disheartening and discouraging things is to be stuck trying to be what other people think you're supposed to be or what you think you're supposed to be. When you're in that place, you are in the tohu wabohu, and you will not bring forth good. You will not bring forth tov. One of my darkest tohu wabohu moments in my life, and those who know me know this story, but it's when I graduated seminary. You know, I was a fresh-faced 27-year-old out of seminary. And I got a job back here in Minneapolis, which was just absolutely awesome. You know, being the executive director for an organization that I absolutely loved. And I still love. And so I was given this job, and I started it, and I quickly descended into darkness, into chaos, because I realized that I couldn't do this job without pretending to be someone who I wasn't. You know, I wanted to be this person, if those of you who know him, Darby, I wanted to be this, you know, larger-than-life, charismatic personality who had led this organization before. And then I stepped into that position and I realized, oh my gosh, I'm not him. I can't be him. And it was a dark moment because that's what I thought I wanted to be. But then I heard this other voice that said, that's okay that you're not him. You're you. And you know, you're not supposed to do this. You're supposed to be a pastor at a church. And that doesn't make this thing that you wanted to be bad. But it's just not you. And so for me, it was Tove to understand who I was and what I was supposed to do. And who I wasn't and what I wasn't supposed to do. And it was as I followed that and listened to that, that God could bring forth good from my life. That I could go from chaos to order. That I could begin to live in God's light. It was a day one experience for me. Because God was separating me. He was differentiating me. He was naming me. And so this is the last thing I want to say about beginnings. Is that we can have hope that God can and will bring those beginnings in our lives. Not because he did it once, you know, billions of years ago. But because he did it once and for all on Easter morning. You know, what is resurrection but new creation coming out of the tohu wabohu of Good Friday? What is God's ruach, God's spirit, but the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and now dwells in us? What is the word by which God spoke creation into being, if not the one word whom the Gospel of John tells us is the word Jesus Christ, who became flesh and dwelled among us? And what is this light of creation that has no natural source, if not the light of the one who said, I am the light of the world, and whom Scripture tells us dwells in light unapproachable? And what is Tov, if not the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep? And the good fruits that are borne by those who love him. And so, friends, new beginnings are possible because he lives, because he speaks, because he has sent his spirit so that we might come out of the chaos and walk in his light by which we can truly see the world as not filled with chaos, but teeming with the possibility and potential of life. So from chaos to possibility, from despair to hope, from nothing to something, from nameless to named, from formless to forming, from empty to being filled. Day one. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.